One of the Olympic events going on right now is some sort of like maybe sculling or something. I don't even know what these are. Susan Schmidt is in for Anna de Vlantis today, and it's guys in little sailboats like sunfishes in the waters in Rio, and they're like covering their mouth while they're steering their boat.
I think that's what the event's called: guys in little sailboats. I'm going to look this one up.
It might be. I don't know what this is, but
they were all in dry suits, right? They're still very concerned about the condition of the water down there. So I think I heard word was they were all wearing dry suits to protect themselves.
Look at the water splash on them. Oh, no.
Right. Trying to keep away from the water as much as possible, which is hard when you're about 6 inches above it.
Well, it's interesting because if you get in Lake Michigan, if you ever get like a gulp of water accidentally in Lake Michigan or in a pool, you get a gulp of water and like, you know, it's bad, but imagine Rio.
You have to chase it with some vodka.
Yeah. More than that. More than that. The Caparena or whatever it was that we had on Fridays. All right. Here he is. Robert Reich is joining us, former labor secretary in the Clinton administration. And now he's a big professorial muckety muck at University of California at Berkeley. And a man who's, well, he's I think it's easy for me to say that you're a man who's seen a lot in politics and economics.
Well, Ro, and Susan, I think I have too much, as a matter of fact,
yes.
Over the years.
Yes, I think too. I think I would agree with you on that. And I just want to say, did you, in the aftermath of the speech today, is there anything about what Donald Trump was proposing that you think, and in all honesty, I mean, now you can be as nonpartisan as you want to be, that would work?
Well, I think that his opposition to the Pacific, Trans-Pacific Partnership actually is a good position to have. Hillary Clinton is also says she's opposed. That partnership is a bad deal for Americans, largely because it basically makes it very difficult to improve any nation's health or safety or environmental or even labor protections.
Well, there was some argument. I mean, isn't that one of the things? Then the president, I'm trying to remember this now from the speech at the Democratic National Convention, I think the president was making the point that it does help labor conditions in these places, and it creates safety and welfare rules around the workers themselves. But, I mean, how do we enforce those anyway? I mean,
the enforcement is very, very difficult. I was labor secretary under Bill Clinton, under President Clinton, and it was difficult to enforce the labor and environmental protections under the North American Free Trade Act. But also the problem with the Trans-Pacific Partnership is it actually has within it an investor dispute mechanism, so that any company that feels that it's losing profits because any individual nation that's a partner to that Trans-Pacific Partnership has raised environmental or health or safety or even investor protections could get compensated by the country that did it. And that is going to make it much more difficult for most countries to protect their people, their citizens, and also their environment.
All right, so there's the good news for Donald Trump from Robert Reich. Now, what's the bad news? What was the most egregious thing today?
Well, I think basically what was interesting to me is that he moved toward fairly standard Republican positions. He, instead of saying that the top tax rate was going to be 25%, he said the top tax rate is going to be 33%. And instead of saying that the bottom tax rate was going to be zero, which had been his position, he is now putting the bottom tax rate up to 12%. Now, this is what Paul Ryan has recommended. It wouldn't create quite the gigantic deficit that Donald Trump would have created on his old economic plan. He also wants to get rid of regulations, put a moratorium on health, safety, environmental, and even Dodd-Frank regulations. That's the regulation. That's the act that was supposed to protect us from another meltdown of Wall Street. So, again, you can like this or not like it, depending on who you are. But I found it interesting that Donald Trump is sounding more like a typical Republican, except when it comes to trade.
What did you think of his 15% flat tax on business?
Hi, Susan. Well, interestingly, about that 15% tax on business, he sort of, I don't know if you heard this, but he wanted to get rid of special tax loopholes, like the so-called carried interest loophole, which is a big, big benefit for hedge fund and private equity managers. But at the same time, he's reducing business taxes to 15%, which means that the private equity and hedge fund partners do much better than they're doing right now. So it's kind of a, he takes away with one hand, but then he gives them more with the other hand.
And I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, though, but it doesn't he also that doesn't that level the playing field too between hedge funds and private equity guys and stuff like that, because it takes them all to the same tax rate?
Well, the real issue here, and I don't want to get in the weeds either, but see, they're not putting any of their own money into these investments. They're getting a huge windfall because they are organized as partnerships that take other people's money and invest those other people's money. But, basically, why should they be privileged? I mean, you and I, we've got to pay our regular income taxes on our income. Why should they get such a big tax break?
Well, and it is interesting, and this has come up before, and the financial community has been under scrutiny for this because it is, we call it carried interest. And so their gains, which is effectively their income, is getting taxed at the capital gains rate rather than your income tax rate. And that capital gains rate is lower. So it has been a point of controversy. And the financial community, this has been a topic on Wall Street for years, where they've really tried to prevent this from becoming too much of a focal point because they don't want the rates to change. They don't want
to be. That's right. And the good news, I think, from the standpoint of average Americans, is that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton both agree that that carried interest loophole ought to be abolished. But what I was saying a moment ago is that he's abolishing it with one hand, but at the same time, he's lowering business taxes to 15%, which means that these private equity partnerships actually get away
right,
with the 15% tax.
Okay, yeah. So now what is interesting about this is that this is, Republicans, and it's been a bit of Republican orthodoxy since 1980, essentially, the supply side concept that if you lower tax rates and you give put the money back into the pockets of business people, they're going to go spend that money. They're going to try to expand their businesses. They're going to hire more people. And then the rising tide is going to raise all ships, and then there's going to be more money coming in.
That's right, Ro. And this is really the big deal, and this is the big problem, because what we've seen since Ronald Reagan lowered the top tax rate is that economic growth really doesn't follow, and almost nothing trickles down. In fact, since the beginning of the 1980s, the median wage in the United States, the typical wage of most people, has gone absolutely nowhere when you adjust for the actual purchasing power of the dollar. Meanwhile, people at the top have done better and better and better. Inequality has widened. Almost nothing has trickled down. So supply-side economics talks a good game, but it's been proven simply to be wrong.
You and I over the years have talked a number of times, and Now here we are in the third decade of thinking about these things. Now I have a question for you. Are you nervous about America?
Yes, I am nervous about America to the degree that if you have years and years where the typical American and everybody below the typical American in terms of income is not doing better, and most people these days, according to the polls, fear that their children are not even going to do as well as they're doing, that creates a kind of broad-based anxiety, anger, frustration. And that anger and anxiety and frustration can so easily be converted into scapegoating toward minorities, toward immigrants, toward Latinos, toward almost anybody, including foreigners. I mean, we see it in this presidential election. And that's really what concerns me. I widening inequality, the difficulty people are having getting ahead, the fact that two-thirds of Americans are really now working paycheck to paycheck, we have a larger and larger number of people who are don't even know where their next paycheck is coming from. They're working part-time. They are working as contract workers. This creates a kind of a fear factor in the American economy that I have not seen before and is dangerous politically.
Well, you saw that in the 90s, too. It was there was that rise in the 1990s of this kind of stuff, the militia movement and things like that. There were also kind of, that were based similarly on the Rust Belt economic collapses, right? You saw it happen, especially in Ohio and in Michigan and Pennsylvania and places like that that were deeply affected. And you saw this kind of this stove piping of those kinds of groups. And now it seems like it's becoming more a part of the culture and the coarseness of the culture. And I agree with you, Doctor. I think it is scary.
And I think, even wealthy people have an interest in creating a society in which more people are benefiting. More people, the circle of prosperity is widening. I mean, if you are in the top 0.1% in this country right now, you would do better with a smaller percentage of a rapidly growing economy than what you have now, which is a big portion of an economy that's barely growing, and where people are very angry and liable to accept leaders and policies that are really going to hurt the overall economy and our society.
All right, Dr. Robert Reich, thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks very much, Ro.
Great
Bye, Susan.
To talk to you.
Bye.
All right, now at University of California, Berkeley.
He's fascinating. He's seen so many different iterations of different plans.
Whether you agree with his politics or not, or agree with the Clintons, or you agree, that whole moment. They did have it wasn't all based on policies by Democrats in the 1990s, right? I mean, you have to look back at the Republican Revolution, all those things that happened.
Well, and remember, policy takes a long time to take effect. So there is, we implement, but then there's a multi-year period where it goes into effect. So a lot of times we find that the Democrats, let's say if they just got elected, are taking credit for a booming economy that might have been set up by the Republicans before, and vice versa.
I like when they just blame the guy from behind them, or two back, or whatever it is. They live on that for years and years and years.